Good morning, and thank you for joining us in this online presentation of the worship service at Brentwood Baptist Church. February is Black History Month, and one of the goals of our church is to be part of the Gospel Initiative for Racial Reconciliation. We believe that in the diversity of humanity, all of our differences, every tribe, every nation, every ethnic group, every tongue, there is something about the glory of that diversity that reveals the glory of God in a way that no one person or no one group can do alone. So we want to tell some of the stories this month about the faith of our African-American brothers and sisters. You know, a lot of us do not realize that the civil rights movement had its birth in the church. It wasn't born in a political headquarters somewhere. It wasn't born in a university philosophy department. It was born in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know, for a long time in our church's history, it was illegal for slaves to gather to worship? Why? Because when they did, they would hear the gospel of Jesus and hear about their dignity as creatures of God, creations of God, bearing the image of God. This is a picture of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. In the late 1950s, Alabama was not dealing well with the race issue. The church was meeting about how to do something about it. And it was there in the basement of this church that the Montgomery bus boycott was put together. The church was a little nervous. Why? Because they had a new pastor. Oh, this new pastor could preach. But they didn't know if this pastor had the gravitas, the weight, the leadership skills to get their church and community through what they knew would be a confrontation with the white establishment. That preacher's name? The young Dr. Martin Luther King. Dexter Avenue Baptist Church is the birthplace of the civil rights movement. The church is the birthplace of the civil rights movement, where we believe that there in Christ Jesus, there is no Jew, no Greek, no male, no female, no free, no slave, no black, nor white, that we're all equal at the cross of Jesus Christ and all the same in our need for salvation. The church, when it is at its best, is the home of racial reconciliation. Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, Montgomery, Alabama, we salute you and the lessons you taught us in this time of Black History Month. You know, Jesus talked a lot about agriculture. There's a story of putting your hand to the plow and not looking back, because if you've had anything to do with a plow, you know, if you take your eye off where you're plowing, you'll plow crooked. There's a story of the mustard seed. There's a story of the mustard plant. There's a story of the wheat and the tares. On and on Jesus went. Lots and lots of stories about farming, agriculture. And I think one of the reasons is that plants teach us a lot about life, about how tough you have to be, about how tenacious you have to be. Did you know a blade of grass can break through concrete? You probably know that. You've gone out into your driveway one day and you look down your driveway and bing, right there in the middle is a blade of grass. And you don't know why in the world that blade of grass is there. Certainly you did not plant grass in the middle of your driveway, no. The seed had been covered up by the concrete, had been driving its roots deep. And when the roots got strong enough, it pushed the plant up. That plant found a microscopic crack and pushed itself through that crack all the way through the concrete. Now, you know and I know that grass can tear up an asphalt driveway, a concrete road. Just give it enough time. Give it half a chance. Have you ever been out west and looked at those grand mountains? And there on that rocky side will be this one tree growing, it looks like, out of the side of the mountain. How in the world did that tree get there? How did that tree stay there? Well, they found a little place and held on for dear life. I think that's one of the reasons Jesus talks so much about agriculture. If you will give a plant half a chance, that plant will thrive. But you do have to give it half a chance. So Jesus reminds us in a wonderful parable called the parable of the sower. Again, it's in Luke 8. Hear the story. As a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from every town, he said this in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seed fell on rock, and when it grew up, it withered away since it lacked moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Still other seed fell on good ground, and when it grew up, it produced fruit 100 times what was sown. As Jesus said this, he called out, "Let anyone who has ears hear this." And then the disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" So he said, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you for you to know. The rest is locked in a parable. Looking so they may not see, hearing they may not understand. And this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed along the path of those who have heard, when the devil comes, takes it away, that takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. The seed on the rock are those that when they hear, receive the word with joy, but having no root, they believe it for a while and fall away in a time of testing. As for the seed that fell among the thorns, those are the ones who, when they've heard, go on their way and they're choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of life and produce no mature fruit. But the seed that falls on good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it and by enduring produce fruit. Having heard the word with an honest and open heart, holding on to it and by enduring produce fruit." This is God's word for God's people. Hear it. Believe it and live. Let's pray together. Do what you must do, O Lord, so that we are all good soil, reproducing 100 times more than you have invested in us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So Jesus tells the disciples and his followers a story about a man who went out sowing seed. He tells the story, they walk away, and the disciples gather around Jesus and say, "Huh? What did you mean? What is this story about? What are we supposed to get from it? What are we supposed to do with it?" Now, Luke gives you a couple of hints. One, a large crowd was starting to gather around Jesus. Now, understand this. Jesus is very serious about the kingdom of God. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it in all of its fullness. But don't show up to talk to Jesus if you're not serious. The crowd, a lot of them, were curious, interested, wanted to see another show by Jesus. What would he do today? What would he show? What would he say today? And were never really serious about becoming a disciple. This happens a lot in the Gospels. A big crowd will gather, Jesus will teach, and the crowd will disperse. So Jesus tells a story. The disciples don't get it. They wait till they're alone with Jesus and go, "Can you tell us what you just said? Can you explain this?" And he says, "Parables are told so that those who really want to know get it, and those who don't won't." If you're the kind of person that's going to grab hold of this story and say, Jesus is trying to teach me something, and I'm going to stay in my study and stay in the Word until I have the lesson that Jesus wants me to have, then you'll find its meaning. But if you're the kind of person that goes, huh, that's an interesting story, but you don't think about it anymore when you leave this moment, you won't get it. And you won't, man, it won't make any difference in your life. Hear me. Jesus is very serious about the kingdom. If you're playing, he's not. Here's what it means, he said. The seed, well, that's the word of God. And the first thing you know about this farmer is he's not real accurate. He is careless in the sowing of the seed. In fact, you might even say extravagant. He throws his seed everywhere. He not only throws it in the good ground where there's a chance it's going to take root and prosper, he throws it everywhere. He throws it on the rocks. He throws it in the weeds. He throws it in the middle of the road. There's no chance. But he throws it anyway. Why? Because with Jesus' word, there's never no chance. The road is that hard-packed heart. That heart that has already made up its mind, that's already figured it all out, that's not listening anymore, that's not paying attention anymore, that's not asking questions anymore, it's not struggling anymore, never has any doubt, never has any worries, unwilling to learn, having learned it all. And the seed of Jesus hits that hard pack and falls off, and it never takes root. The rocky ground, that's a life that's crowded with a lot of different stuff, a lot of different burdens, a lot of different heartache, and they hear the gospel, and they say, yes, I love this message. I want to know Jesus Christ, and they respond, the best way that they can, but they're never grown up in the faith. I keep telling you all the time, being born again isn't the end. It's the start. You have to be born again, and you have to grow again if you want to live again. Being born again is just the start. But for a lot of us, especially Baptists, we made a profession of faith, we came forward, and we were baptized, but we were never discipled. No one ever opened the Bible with us. No one ever explained to us what it meant. No one helped us understand what was going on in our own life or how to recognize how God was working. None of that. And we did fine most of the time until life got tough, until the storm hit, and the roots of our faith weren't deep enough, and we got wiped out. The other fell among thorns. This is the life that really, really wants to follow Jesus, really wants to do what's right, but life is just hard. I've got meetings at 7 in the morning. I've got meetings at 7 at night. I've got to be here for my kids. I've got to be there for my other kid. I've got to figure this out before I retire. I've got these projects I have to do before the boss gets in. And you get carried away with life to the point that you never actually live. And then your kids grow up and graduate. And you wonder where the time went. This is the person that became overly concerned with the things of the world. And the seed died. The other part of the soil? Well, it was the good ground. It was ready for the word. It was had been watered. It had been plowed. It was open, ready. And when the seed hit it, that seed, get this, reproduced 100 times more. Now, if you're listening to that story, if you're standing around Jesus and he throws out that ridiculous number, you fall over laughing, especially if you were a farmer. If you were sitting there next to Jesus with your hands calloused from all of the work you've done in the fields, and Jesus talks about 100 times more, you would laugh at the absurdity of that number. Maybe 10 times more if you were really good. But 100 times? Well, that's a miracle. And that's Jesus' whole point. The life that is open to his goodness lives a life that we can't even imagine. That if someone came to you and said, if you will follow Jesus Christ, if you will be filled with Jesus Christ, here's what your life will be. You would laugh at the absurdity of the goodness of that life. It was Grady Nutt, the Southern Baptist humorist of another generation, who preached the sermon that made the observation that, you know, all four of these soils are in the same field. We don't have anything in this story that says the farmer got out, threw his seed one place, got back in his car, drove to another place, and threw the seed another place. No, the farmer went out to sow. This is his field. And all of these soils are in the same field. All of these responses are in the same life. There are places in your life, in my life, that I've already made my mind up. I've already made the decision. And frankly, those places are off limits to Jesus. We have places where we haven't done the soil work, the soul work, and it's too rocky for the seed to take root. There are other places that we haven't cleared out, decluttered, that we're still trying to think with the teaching of Jesus, and we're still trying to think with the way of the world, and that doesn't work. There are other places where we have managed to align our life with the teaching of Jesus, and those are the most joyful places in our life. Those are the most joyous places in our life, the most fun places of our life. Maybe you don't do everything right, but maybe you do this right. All four soils in the same field. All four responses in the same life. Which leads us to one of the questions I'm going to ask you this morning. Here's the first one. What kind of work you got to do in your soul so that the soil is ready for the word? If all four responses are in the same life, if all four soils are in the same field, where is that area that you have hard-packed your decisions? You have made your decision, you've packed it down, then you've gone back over it and stomped it down hard so it never comes back up again. There's some moment in your past, there's some person in your life, and you've made your decision, you're not thinking about it anymore, it's done, it's over. And when Jesus talks to you about forgiveness, when Jesus talks to you about restoration, you might as well be throwing seed in the middle of a concrete road. You've already made your decision. What are those areas that you may need to plow under, plow up, so that the seed will have a place to fall? Where have you not done the soil work in your soul to get the rocks out of the way? You know, those things that you pick up during life. You get mad about this, or you have a failure about this, and you carry these rocks around like trophies. And they're scattered throughout your life, and they take up space where the Word of God needs to be, and it chokes the life out of the Word in your life. You know, in Middle Tennessee here, we have slave walls. And what that is, it's as these fields were taken from forest to agriculture, the slaves would plow. When they'd hit a rock, they'd pick up the rock and they would go stack it in the fence. And so that's how the fences were built. They're from rocks that were once in the middle of the field. I imagine a lot of us would have some impressive walls, some impressive fences, if we dug up all the rocks that we have collected over the years. The thorns. You know, one of the funniest things Jesus ever said was, which one of you can add an inch to your height by worry? And then he says this, if you can't do a small thing like that, why worry at all? What's hilarious about that, if you could shrink and grow at will, you'd be famous. But Jesus said, that's small potatoes. If you can't even do that, then don't worry about worrying, because you can't change anything anyway. That's the thorns. Be so consumed about your life and about all the aspects of it, and what you can do and what you have to do and what you must do and what you should have done, that you choke the life out of your own life. What do you have to do to the hard-packed ground, to the thorny ground, to the rocky ground, so it is like the good ground that has 100-fold return? What have you got to do in your life so that every area of your life is good soil for the Word of God? That's the first question. Second question is this one. The sower is anyone who sows the Word of God. So how extravagant are you in telling the story of Jesus? Look at this sower. He throws the seed everywhere. We don't know if there's a chance that this seed will blossom in the middle of the road, in the middle of the path, but we're going to throw it there anyway. We're going to throw it in the rocks. Why? Well, there's a chance. So how extravagant are you in the sowing of the seed? You know, one of the reasons Jesus told us about agriculture is that plants teach us a lot about the tenacity that it takes to live. You know, if you give a seed half a chance, it's going to blossom. But you do have to give it half a chance. Pray with me. Work now in our lives, O Lord, so that there is no area, no relationship, no thought, no longing, no desire that is not good soil for your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you want to know more about this relationship with Jesus Christ we talked about, we'd love to have the chance to have a conversation with you. Text CONNECT, just CONNECT to 623-623, and we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can. If you want to know more about us as Brentwood Baptist Church, we'd love to get to know you as well. Text CONNECT to 623-623, and we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can. Thank you so much for being with us in this video presentation of worship at Brentwood Baptist Church. We look forward to getting to know you better in the future, and we look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.